The Longest Kill, the story of Maverick 41, one of the world's greatest snipers, by Craig Harrison, read by Joe Jameson. Prologue. Life or Death. Helmand Province, Afghanistan, November 2009. My index finger was resting on the trigger of my Accuracy International AWM-338 sniper rifle. It was the best sniper rifle in the world, and was topped off with the best telescopic sight in the world, the Schmidt & Bender 525. I'd been taught that the effective range of this rifle was 1,500 metres. Today, I was going to get it to reach a lot further. I'd been a sniper for 10 years. I'd been in firefights where my odds of surviving seemed slim to none, but I'd never had to make a shot like this before. I'd never had to shoot so far and to factor in so many variables while under so much pressure. The pressure of life or death. The three Jackal armoured vehicles I was commanding had set out from our base at 0400 hours. By daybreak, we'd been in position on high ground, about 4 kilometres south of Talahan's district central. We were tasked with providing observation and protection to a joint British Army and Afghan Army foot patrol, clearing a village in a valley below. Once I was happy that the Jackals were covering all the Taliban's potential approach routes, I'd grab my sniper rifle and position myself behind a crumbling old wall made of mud and straw, the only half-decent cover the area offered. The area was crawling with Taliban, and as soon as the sun came up, they started their attack. For 3 hours, I'd provided oversight, acquired and taken out Taliban targets. By now, I was sweating, stripped down to a t-shirt under my body armour, even though it was a mild winter's day. Then I watched, as a vehicle-borne patrol from my regiment was dispatched to help the foot patrol. They'd done their bit, but now they were in a precarious position themselves, their Jackals bogged in, and the crews, my mates, under attack from all flanks. They had good firepower on the vehicles, but they were in a gully and couldn't see what was happening around them. They were dangerously exposed and fighting for their lives. From my vantage point, I could see the enemy machine gun that was pouring fire down at them. I'd witnessed too many casualties being loaded on the back of a Chinook in this war. I had to take out the machine gun crew. To my mind, the sniper is the ultimate professional soldier, one of the only true force multipliers in the British Army's inventory. A sniper pair can wreak havoc that is completely disproportionate to their number. They can slow battalion advances and turn attacks. They can enhance the defensive battle by making the attackers' lives hell. We neutralise commanders and key equipment. As the hackneyed phrase goes, one shot, one kill. Snipers don't just kill, though. They are trained to observe and report, carry out reconnaissance, and can also adjust mortar and artillery fire. They are the masters of the shadows. The British Army has had a sporadic relationship with sniping, continually having to relearn lessons. The sniper pair was conceived and developed in the First World War, and its basic principles have not really changed that much to this day. Unfortunately, in the interwar years, snipers drifted out of fashion, and in the Second World War, sniping had to be re-established. The same thing happened when that war ended and after Korea. It wasn't really until after the Falklands War in 1982 that the British Army realised that their snipers needed to be permanently established and better equipped. My regiment, the Blues and Royals, didn't have a history or culture of sniping in the way that other regiments do, particularly the Parachute Regiment, the Royal Marines and the Special Forces. I had to fight to become a sniper, and I had to fight to bring my sniper rifle on operations. On this day, it would turn the tide of a battle. All the evidence said that it couldn't be done, that this shot was impossible. It was far outside the recognised range of the rifle. I was out of adjustment in my scope, and my position was appalling. Every time the rifle recoiled, a little chunk of wall broke away, and I had to hold the bipod with my left hand just to stop it falling off. Accurate.